I mean, just a variety of symptoms. Now, some of that can also be done with EEG entrainment. As we talked about, that you can actually bombard the brain with a foreign frequency that corresponds to the EEG tracing of someone with, let's say, flu-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. So if your brain is bombarded with that external frequency, it will slowly entrain that frequency, and then you will display the symptoms of the desired trait that they're trying to make you display.
Question about some of the technology that you're developing to fight the war on terror, specifically directed energy and high-powered microwave technology. Do you, when do you envision that you can weaponize that type of technology?
It is in, for the most part, the kinds of things you're talking about are in varying early stages. Do you want to give anything you'd add?
I don't think I would add much. I think they are in early stages and probably not ready for employment at this point.
But you sound like you're willing to experiment with
it. I think that's the point. And I think, and it's, we have, I think, from the beginning of this conflict, I think General Franks has been very open to looking at new things if there are new things available, and has been willing to put them into the fight.
Let me go down the list of some of these that I came up with. We've got DARPA has a sonic projector that was reported on in 2007. But of course, it had been around for quite some time before then. Army has something they call voice to skull. We've got the Air Force using microwaves to create sounds at Brooks Air Force Base. We've got the Marine Corps with their Medusa project. We've got the State Department, as reported by the Washington Post in 2005, working on voices implanted in people's heads. We've got a couple of companies, one that has patented something called hypersound. That's American Technologies. It's also got Holosonic Research Labs, also has a patented version. So the military-industrial complex has been all over this. When you see something this wide, this is not just one little research project from one organization. And this is something that 5, 10 years ago, it was being reported on in even mainstream press like the Washington Post, and yet nobody knows about this.
Well, the people who follow the Internet pretty closely, and certainly the victims of this technology, mm-hmm. know about it. But you're right. There's been a lot of research done into how to put voices into one's head. It was found long ago that if you can put a voice into someone's head, you can do several things. If I put a voice that's foreign to your normal thought pattern in your head, that becomes harassment. And the harassment over time will make you display signs of schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. When you go and tell people that you're hearing voices, we've been patterned to turnkey see that as schizophrenia, mm-hmm. and not even look to see if there's a legitimate source for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I put a voice in your head that's in your voice, and if you pattern a thought, like I tell some of these victims, when you read a book, you're actually hearing your own voice in your head as you read. If I put that voice in your head, then that becomes a thought.
Wow.
And you'll act on those thoughts, and that's how they think that some of this is being used for subliminal control.
Wow. I know that in some of these articles I was reading on the mid-2000s, they were talking about how they were using it as the voice of God, as the voice of Allah, because they figured that it was something that they could use. They thought that the people that they were going against that were Muslims were very religious, superstitious.
Used in the field of battle. The mm-hmm. voice of God weapon, which is actually called Esquad, or silent sound spread spectrum, was used in the first Operation Desert Storm. That was one of those scenarios where 1,500 Iraqi soldiers disassembled their weapons, got to their knees, and surrendered to 150 Marines who didn't have enough slip ties to tie them all together, because, and this was admitted, that they used Esquad to put the voice of Allah in their heads to tell them to surrender.
Wow.
Before that, in the mid to late 80s, 5 separate inmates from the Utah State Prison had written affidavits saying that they were put in solitary confinement and were experimented on with some type of electronic device that put voices in their head, and all of them claimed that they could tell the voices of the people doing the experimentation on them were responding back to their thoughts.
Wow.
So this has been going on for a while. Unfortunately, it's just not gotten any major media coverage until recently.
So they're basically setting themselves up as the ventriloquists, and we're the dummies or the zombies, right?
Well, it's like I've said in other with other reporters and other shows, that guns and taxes won't control everybody.
Yeah,
electromagnetic technology will.
Wow.
The unfortunate thing with this type of voice to skull or microwave auditory effect type hearing is that it's designed for only the target to hear. In 1996, the Army came out with their addendum to the biologic effects of non-lethal weapons, where they talk about the microwave auditory effect and how even with microphones in the ear canal or microphones attached to the scalp that the voices can't be recorded. And they go on to say, imagine the incapacitating effect on an enemy combatant when they begin to hear voices in their own head. Another high-ranking military official said, we now have the ability to talk someone to death. So the bad thing is once these victims tell their family members, tell their employer, tell their physician that they're hearing voices, well, I mean, in today's psychiatric community, if you're hearing voices your psychiatrist can't hear, then you're delusional or schizophrenic until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the psychiatric community has not been educated on the fact that there is technology out here now that is meant to mimic mental illness.
Now, what do you mean by mind control? There's an awful lot of technologies involved in that.
Yes, of course, in the old days, it involved drugs, chemistry, torture, that kind of thing. And that actually continued on until the 1960s and 70s. Once we get into the late 80s, early 90s, mind control was developed through satellite transmission so that you didn't have to be taken to a specific location to be programmed. You could be programmed eating lunch or sleeping or going about your daily business.
Yeah, similar to the film They Live.
Similar to that, yes.
So can you describe the techniques involved in these types of mind control?
Yes, and it was actually pre-Montauk project. Montauk was actually 1970 to 1983. But we have to thank the Germans during World War II for developing procedures that fractured the mind pattern of a human being through torture. They developed what is called psychic driving, where you bring a person to extremes, several hours or days of extreme cold and then extreme heat. You can give them starvation for several days, and you overfeed them, make them sleep for days, and then keep them awake. Fractured. The mind doesn't know what to expect. And then this was developed further by Dr. Ewan Cameron, who, after the war, brought the Nazi techniques to Canada, actually, in the late 1940s. He's a Scot. Dr. Ewan Cameron was a Scottish scientist who was very interested in this kind of work. And after the war, as people know now, in the U.S. it was Project Paperclip, where they would bring valuable Nazi scientists, doctors, etc., to the United States, Canada, UK, even to the Soviet Union, where they would continue their experiments and they were saved from the Nuremberg trials, etc. And Dr. Ewan Cameron got the German information, and he started clinics in Montreal, in Ottawa, in Toronto, and he enveloped or enhanced the psychic driving. He started out in mental institutions where he would have the subjects in a room where they would have a split board between their eyes. One side would see a flower blooming, another side would see an animal being ripped apart. And one ear would be classical music, and another ear would be loud, horrendous music.
Was it important which side saw what scene?
They would switch sides so that the left brain, which is the ego, physical reality-based side, and the right brain, the creative, emotional, spiritual side, would then be confused as to what to accept, and the mind would then fracture. And that's when programming was initiated in the mind pattern. They knew through the German experimentation that the most you could fracture a mind would create a geometric shape in the mind of a cube of 13 by 13 by 13. And that would lead to 2,197 compartments that could be programmed into subpersonalities, full personalities, specific functions, constructs, etc.
Think of Guantanamo Bay and the question of interrogating terrorists. We can now, in the future, be able to think about reading a terrorist's mind without using coercive tactics. Certain brain patterns correspond to certain thoughts, a dictionary of thinking.
Now, from the psychiatric community standpoint, at the very top of the psychiatric community, I mean, they know very well that this technology exists because the early studies on mind control through MKUltra and MKSearch and Bluebird were all headed up by psychiatrists. Many of these psychiatrists were tops in their fields. You and Cameron up at McGill University was the president of the American Psychiatric Association and the Canadian Psychiatric Association. Jolly West out in California, same thing, one of the top people in his field. Now, does this all knowledge trickle down to the community psychiatrist that you're going to be sent to in your hometown? Probably not. As a matter of fact, some of the psychiatrists that I know that I've talked to don't even fully believe that MKUltra really happened. They've done. It's not taught in their schools. You know, certainly they're not going to teach them in residency that their profession was responsible for some of the most horrendous crimes ever known in this country.
Yeah.
So they're largely ignorant of the technology. That's where it's really, you know, kind of our charge to educate the community psychiatrist anyway, that just because someone's hearing voices doesn't mean they're schizophrenic. They may actually be a victim of criminalization. So that's where we need to do a better job, probably educating them. Unfortunately, when you're another physician trying to tell a psychiatrist, a fellow physician psychiatrist, that voices in somebody's head is technologic, you know, and not mental illness, then you're subject to getting a diagnosis as well. So,
civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified, with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified, and or all of the above, in such event as classified spewing, classified escape.
Here's the publication number, the type, the application number. It was published, as you see, in 2000, and it was filed in 1998. And so it's been a couple of years that it's been out, because now we're in 2014. However, I can only imagine that the advancements that this has made since then, just something to think about. It lists the inventor and all this information in case you want to look at that. But let's just get into the nitty-gritty of this thing. Okay. Here's what the patent's title is: communication system and method including brain wave analysis and or use of brain activity. Now here's the abstract, the overall of what it is about. A system and method for enabling human beings to communicate by way of their monitored brain activity. The brain activity of an individual is monitored and transmitted to a remote location. At the remote location, the monitored brain activity is compared with pre-recorded normalized brain activity, curves, waveforms, or patterns to determine if a match or substantial match is found. If such a match is found, then the computer at the remote location determines that the individual was attempting to communicate the word, phrase, or thought corresponding to the match stored normalized signal. So basically what that is saying is this is a system by which brain activity of a human being is transported to a remote location. Now, obviously there are good intentions and good reasons to have this, but as with most things, it can highly be abused, it can be misused, and it can be commercialized, especially by the elite. Who wouldn't want to get their hands on something like this, especially someone with a lot of money and a lot of power?
You know, for years, everyone has thought that the brain's too complex. There's no way you'll ever control people. You can't do mind control. The brain's too complex to be controlled.